Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on South Carolina, Louisville, Texas. Today is July 30, 2016, or it is 8/27/2020. We will start our first service on the Sabbath day of the song entitled In the Garden. Subject. We're in a tract by Brother Johnson, 1998, the Kingdom Jubilee tract. And we talked to you about this Jubilee year being 2015, 2016, they're talking about. And, we're on page 6 of this tract, and we're going to do a prayer thought. Taken from Isaiah 63. Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to say, wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have tried in the winepress alone, and of the people, there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my Redeemer is come. And I left, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Yahweh, and the praise of the Yahweh according to all that the Yahweh has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according unto his mercy and according unto the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them, and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him, that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them, to make himself an everlasting name, that led them through the deep as an horse in the wilderness, that they should not stumble? As the beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of Yahweh caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people, to make thyself a glorious name. Look down from heaven, and behold, from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory, where is thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Yahweh, art our father, our Redeemer, thy name is from everlasting. O Yahweh, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways, and hardened our heart from thy fear? Return for thy servants' sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine, they never bearest rule over them. Thou never bearest rule over them, they were not called by thy name. All right. Let's go now to Psalms 145. And see what we have there. It says, I will extol thee, my Elohim. Or it says, O King. So we're talking about Yahshua. I will extol thee, my Yahshua, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Yahweh, and great to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak to the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Yahweh is good unto all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now, what does that mean now? Well, it says that he is good unto all. All who? All of Israel. In other words, when he called Israel out of the Dark Ages, 1844, he started with William Miller in 1833. First Day Advent. And so he brought forth the prophecies with him, and then he brought forth the Seventh Day Adventists, and three angels' messages, and then he brought forth Jones and Wagner in 1888, 1890 with a message for Israel, righteousness by faith. This is Yahweh's mercy to his people, raising up messengers in their midst and giving them the message that they need for the hour to cause them to advance on and on, spiritually. Okay? So he was good unto them, and then he raised up the shepherd rod in 1930, and he was good unto them, and that's his tender mercy. All the house of Israel, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, when he raised up Rodas in 1970, he was good to him. He gave him his mercy, extended his mercy to him from the Adventist. He moved on from one feeding pasture to another. That's what he means by when he says, Yahweh is good unto all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. You see, Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead, that was his three feeding pastures, that's Yahweh's works. All thy works shall praise thee. Okay, so when he completes these works, they're going to all praise him. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Who's going to do all this? All of those that come and join his kingdom. They're going to speak of the glory of thy kingdom. To make known unto the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. That kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and that dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Yahweh upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. There it is. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Alright, what was the meat in due season in 1888 for the Advent? Righteousness by faith. Just this pure and simple message that Martin Luther had in 1500 when he came out of the Catholic Church. Righteousness by faith. By faith in what? By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's what the righteous by faith is. The message is, that is. And the meat in due season is what is needed. As the light unfolds and advances, then you have to have a new unfolding of truth. That's what they call meat in due season. When the people are ready for to receive a new light, that's called meat in due season, and Yahweh rewards them. By giving those that have prepared their hearts to receive it, then he rewards them with inspiration to understand the new light that they're receiving. Because they have lived up to all the light they've had so far and advanced with it. And so now they're ready to take on stronger meat. So that's what he's talking about. He said, thou openest thine hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing, whether it be man or beast. For the Yahweh is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in the truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Yahweh preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. So let's look at that verse again, Psalms 145, verse 20. The Yahweh preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. Now in Psalms 31:23, he says, O love the Yahweh, all ye his saints, for the Yahweh preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Okay, so here it is right there again. He says, love the Yahweh, all ye his saints, for the Yahweh preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Okay, so now we go back to Psalms 145, verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Yahweh, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Now let's go to Psalms 146 and let's see what that has to offer. Praise ye the Yahweh, praise the Yahweh, O my soul. While I live, while I praise the Yahweh, I will sing praises unto my Elohim while I have my any being. While I have any life left within me, I'll sing praise unto him. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. Now what did Yahweh say to Ezekiel? Son of Man, prophesy. He addresses his prophecy on earth as sons of men. But it says that you are to put no trust in princes nor in the Son of Man. Brother Johnson was a son of man. And everybody that down there that got lazy and settled on their leaves and didn't want to think for themselves, they put their trust in him. And that's fatal. And what causes you to put your trust in someone else is when you get lazy and mentally lazy and don't want to do it for yourself. You don't want to learn for yourself. You want somebody else to do your thinking and learning for you. His breath goeth forth. He returneth unto his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the Elohim of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Yahweh his Elohim, which made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that there is, which keepeth truth forever. Now you see, it says Yahweh and his son Yahshua, they keep the truth forever. So all you have to do is just concern yourself in knowing what pleases the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit knows what pleases him, and strive to please him, and he says, which made the heaven and the earth. He says, happy is he that hath the Yahweh of Jacob for his help. Okay, whose hope is in the Yahweh is Elohim. Okay, so happy is he that has Yahshua. Okay, that wrestled with Jacob all night, that angel that wrestled with Jacob all night, that was Yahshua, for his help, whose hope is in the Yahweh, his Elohim, the Father, which made the heaven and the earth. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that refers to Yahweh making the heavens and the earth. And all that there is, which keepeth truth forever, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food unto the hungry. The Yahweh looseth the prisoners. The Yahweh openeth the eyes of the blind. The Yahweh raiseth them that are bowed down. The Yahweh loveth the righteous. So he loves the righteous. Yahweh preserveth the strangers, he relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Now, where is another place that we have that same type of shame? You'll find that in Isaiah 24. It says, behold, the Yahweh maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. So we go back to Psalm 146, verse 9. It says, Yahweh preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. And boy, I can tell you right now, the wicked in this country that are trying to continue on, hold on to our government and promising lies after promises, but just nothing but lies. And he's going to turn them upside down. The Yahweh shall, it says the Yahshua, the Son, now shall reign forever, even thy Savior, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise to the the Yahshua. Now, we're just talking about the Son here. He's the one that's put in charge of the kingdoms of this world after Adam fell. But he was put in charge to reclaim the kingdoms of this world, and he did that by his death and resurrection at the cross. It says, praise ye, Psalms 147, it says, praise ye the Yahweh, for it is good to sing praises unto our Elohim, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Yahweh doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their name. Great is our Elohim and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Yahweh lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Yahweh with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harps unto our Elohim. Who covereth the heaven with clouds. Who prepares rain for the earth. Who maketh the grass to grow upon the mountain? He giveth to the beast his food, and unto the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Yahweh taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Now, if we lose our fear for him, it means that we become hardened in our conscience. If we take it for granted that, for instance, the Sabbath day, how we enter into it, how we keep it. Do we keep it according to Yahweh's wishes, the way he's laid down in the scripture? Or do we keep it, or have we just kind of relaxed on that and presumed upon his mercies? And gradually harden our hearts on that, and then the more we harden our hearts, the more it becomes natural for us to do it our way. We have to be careful. We have to really guard our avenues of our soul. It says, praise the Yahweh, O Jerusalem, praise thy Elohim, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoary frost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word. He melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Yahweh. And it goes on in Psalm 48, it says, praise ye the Yahweh from the heaven. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise ye Yahweh from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princesses and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for his name alone is excellent. His glory above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Yahweh. So what does it say here? He also exalteth the horn of his people, means the tower, the headquarters for it, their tabernacle, the praise of all his saints. Even he exalted the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. So See, the children of Israel are people that are near unto Yahweh. All the wicked and all these other false churches and so forth, they're not near unto Yahweh. He's far, far from them. And when you go in their midst on a Sunday when they worship, it's like walking into a tomb. It's just no spirit there at all. They just go through the formality. Right. And Psalm 149 says, praise ye the Yahweh, sing unto Yahweh a new song. Now here it is right here. We're to sing unto him a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. So when the saints come forth, we that are at the head of the work, we're to sing unto him a new song. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Yahweh taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of Elohim be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, for the executing of the vengeance upon all the heathen, and punishments upon all the people, for the binding of their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, for the executing upon them the judgment written, dishonor have all his saints, praise ye the Yahweh. Sometimes it says, praise ye the Yahweh, praise Yahweh in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according unto his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp, praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with the stringed instruments and organs, praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. That everything that hath breath praise the Yahweh. Praise ye the Yahweh. Okay, that ends Psalms 145 through Psalms 150. It is good to read these Psalms, and we need to read them every day. And all these promises in Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of the prophets. We need to read the Daniel and the Revelations every day together. We need to read all of these things because they put fresh into our mind the real meaning of what it is to serve Yahweh in the Spirit and in the truth. All right. So much for that. We're going to now turn to our main study, and that's on page 6 of the Kingdom Jubilee Tract, 1998, by Brother Stephen Johnson. We're going to continue part number 8 now. Even now in the closing hours of the gospel period, the church says, I am rich and increaseth goods and have need of nothing. Now, I'm going to go read to you from Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 through about 19. And let's just see what it says, if this is the church saying that. Or if the Bible records it as this angel of Laodicea saying that. Now let's just see who it's talking about here. Brother Johnson says, the church says that I'm rich and increased with goods. But now, Brother Johnson brought up the closing work for the church, so let's just see what the Bible says about that. Revelation 3. And unto the angel, Brother W. Johnson, of the church of the Laodiceans, right. These saints said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So he says, Yahshua is addressing Brother Johnson here, the angel of the candlestick of Laodicea. He's telling him, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So far, he's talking about one man here he's addressing. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now who is this thou? Yahshua, this is Yahshua talking here. He said, because thou. Thou is this here angel of letters here, Royce Johnson. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee, who is this beast? This is the angel of Laodicea, Brother Johnson. He says, Yahshua is talking here. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So now he says right here, see. He says, as many as I love and rebuke, he says, therefore, be zealous therefore and repent. So he's telling Brother Johnson, he's saying, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. That's exactly the first word I give him when I give him the message from heaven, was repent. Well, that's Yahshua's first word to this angel. Because he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, now Yahshua could have stand at any other door but at Gilead Center at Passover. He could have stand at any other door. So it has to be the door of this here angel. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, at the door of the church that you're in charge of. If any man hear my voice, said, if any man inside there hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. Now, whoever the man is that opens the door, but at first he says, if any man hear my voice. So it says, any man inside that door, hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him. So now he's addressing the Brother W. Johnson. He's saying, now, I stand at your door and knock at your church. And if any man inside there hears my voice and opens the door, because I know you're not going to open it, because you done said you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So I know you're not going to open that door. But say, if any man inside that door opens it, I will come in unto him. Him is a pronoun for whoever it is that opens the door. And in this case, in this prophecy, it would be David, Elijah David. And we'll sup with him, and he with me. So, your key word is sup. Okay, now, when you look up the word sup, you'll find out that it goes with the Yahshua's Supper. Let's go look it up. It says in Luke 17:8, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him. So he come to the door at Passover 2002, and he stood at the door and knocked. And one man inside there heard his voice, Elijah David. And that's why he called us. Then he called us out. When we opened the door, he came in and he supped with us. By his spirit, he told us what to do. He says, you come out of here and be you separate and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. So that's what happened. Okay, there's your key word there, sup. All right, it says that So it says there in Revelation 13:16-17, I just read to you. So he says, even now, and the Brother Johnson is saying now, even now in the closing hours of the gospel period, the Brother Johnson is at 1998, getting close down to the end of Gilead Center in the 11th parabolic hour, and that's what he is actually referring to. He said, "I am." The church says, "No, I just read it to you." It says, "The angel of Laodicea says, I am rich and increased with good." So you see how Brother Johnson was deferring here to the Seventh-day Adventist Church as being this Laodicean angel. And angel is a singular term also for one. So he says, he says, I am rich and increased with goods and have neither nothing, okay, neither of truth nor of the prophets. Though in fact she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So we went through that yesterday, but it's worth reviewing again today. She then would have to be Gilead Center. Okay, so at and about to be spewed out. If she fails now to anoint her eyes with this extra, fresh extra oil. So here Brother Johnson is making a prophecy to Gilead Center and didn't know it. And being unmindful of her wretched condition, she is now ready not only to reject the last message that comes to her with the warnings and reproofs just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, Malachi 4:5, actually before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Tract 12, paragraph 24, paragraph 2. This shows that the shepherd rod is the last message before the judgment for the living begins. Okay, so now, Brother Johnson is going to tell you that this happened 28 years earlier at Kermit, Texas, when he started his ministry in 1970, that the shepherd rod had come to its end, closing out the judgment for the dead in 1970, and the sixth seal. See, Brother Johnson thought that sixth seal closed in 1970, and the judgment of the dead closed. And that the judgment of the living began 28 years ago. And here he is writing the check of this track in 1998, saying 28 years ago, all this happened. But yet, we're sitting there worse off than we were in 1970. And yet he's taught all this judgment has already taken place, that we were in the judgment of the living, and had been for 28 years. And the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed. And that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified city, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Micah 7:11-12. Now let's read that again. It said, in the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed. Okay, now what is a decree? That's a decree to bow down to the image of the beast. So when Brother Johnson was given the commission and the command to build the walls around Jerusalem with the restoring of the sanctuary service with the creation calendar, that was in 1970. Well, that decree for the mark of the beast to go in was far removed from 1970. And it's still right here in the future, right now, from us. And we're in 2016. So that's been 46 years ago. So yeah, that decree was far removed. Okay. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortress even to the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain, Micah 7:11-12. Since this decree is removed in the day that the kingdom of the church purified is restored, and the day the saints are fortified, the decree has no effect on them. Okay. It says, in that day, declares inspiration, there shall be a great gathering from Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. Therefore, this message, the shepherd rod, is the one that precedes the harvest of the earth, the great and dreadful day of Yahweh, the judgment for the living, the day in which all things are to be restored. Mark 9:12. 1 TGR 28. Page 15. Since Vitihalif and the shepherd rod message has been previously proven to be the antitype of John the Baptist and his work in which there was no harvest, no judgment for the living, nor the restoring of all things, it is evident that the message brought to view in the foregoing quotation, 1 TGR 28, page 15, was the message of the shepherd rod brought by V.T. Holliffe in 1930 to 1970. Therefore, the shepherd rod is a message that precedes the harvest. Okay, the judgment for the living and the restoration of all things. This is in harmony with the type. So keep that in mind now. The judgment, the shepherd rod message, it precedes the harvest. In other words, in the 12th hour. So this is true. The shepherd rod message is given in the 10th hour and the 11th hour. And the 12th hour is for the harvest. So this is true. The shepherd rod message did precede the harvest time. This is in harmony with the time. For the revelator, moreover, was told that the things about which he was to write were to be hereafter. Revelation 4:1. After 96 A.D., when he had the vision, furthermore, the sealing of the 144,000 takes place in the period of the sixth seal just prior to the opening of the seventh. Okay, so now, so the sealing of the 144,000 takes place in the period of the sixth seal just prior to the opening of the seventh. You see, Revelation 6:12-17 and 7:1-17 and Revelation 8:1. Shortly before the end of all things, track 9, page 53, through page 54, paragraph 0, it is herein shown that the sealing of the 144,000, Revelation 7:1-4, shepherd rod message takes place in the period of the sixth seal, and that the seventh seal brings the end of all things. Now, you see that? The seventh seal brings the end of all things. Well, this is true. The seventh seal is open at the beginning of the opening up of the judgment of the living and the 12th parabolic hour. And the closing out of the 11th parabolic hour. That's what that fifth group of laborers in Matthew 26 that are called at the 11th hour. That's what they were called for. To actually, their work was to close out the 11th hour. Brother Johnson just was occupying the position as the leader at Gilead Center at the time of the closing. And by his actions and so forth, that's what brought the closing of the church. He was the one that was really accountable for bringing the closing of the church. By his actions, what brought it. At this point, I want to take you back to track 15, page 88. To establish harmony between his statement and the statement in track 9, page 53. And 54. Because as it stands now, there is a contradiction between the two quotes. Using the quotation from Tract 9 as a foundation, because it is in harmony with the type, we can establish the truth intended in Tract 15. Page 88. What we are seeing here in Tract 15 is that the 144,000 had to be sealed before the judgment of the living. Therefore, they had to be sealed in the period of the sixth seal. Well, now, why was that? I'm asking the question. Why is it, was it so unnecessary for them to have to be sealed during the sixth seal? When they are represented by the number 7. 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal in Elijah's day. We have inspiration to show 7 is a complete number, and 144,000 is a complete number. And that 7 was a prophecy and a type and an allegory for the 144,000. And the 144,000, they retained the number 7. So if you're going to say they were sealed during the sixth seal, but then you'd have had to have the judgment of the living to start at the time that they were sealed. And the judgment of the living began in 2002, or it started with the ancient man before the house, the angel of the letter Seah, 1 Peter 4:17. And so we do know that was a sign that marked the beginning of the judgment of the living, the physical sign that the leader, the angel himself, was spewed out and was cut off. So there is no question about that. So there is our signpost to show you where the sixth seal ended, closed out the judgment of the dead, and the seventh seal began. When Brother Johnson was spewed out at the atonement, September 16, 2002, that's when the angel was spewed out. That is when the sixth seal closed at the atonement, 2002. And the seventh seal began. They could not be judged before the truth of Revelation 7:1-4 was given. Hence, they had to be sealed in the period of the sixth seal to prepare them for the judgment for the living, beginning with the opening of the seventh seal. It is well to note that you cannot judge a person for something until after truth or facts have been given. All right. So, Brother Johnson, he laid down the facts. For 33 long years of term of Texas, at the time I gave that message in 2002, it was 32 long years of term, that he had established the facts. He had established the facts that he was supposed to restore the sanctuary, in which he did in 1970. All divine institutions, which he did. He wrote a tract on it. Had us to deliver to the Adventists. And all the facts were established. All the feast days were restored. And Brother Johnson published a creation calendar starting in 1970. And he, every year, showing the true time for keeping the feast days. So important. So he established practicing it and publishing, he established the fact that this is right. He said, this is why the 144,000 had to be sealed in the period of the sixth seal. Well, we were in the sixth seal. Brother Johnson says the sixth seal closed in 1970, so he's saying that the 144,000 then were sealed during the rod period, from 1930 to 1970. Now, you see how ludicrous this is? Because, see, he won't tell you in 1998 when he wrote this tract, he won't say, well, the seventh seal opened in 28 years ago in 1970. He won't do that. Because if he did, he'd have a whole lot of answering of questions that would be thrown at him. Well, how come this didn't happen? How come we didn't have revival reformation? How come we didn't have Elijah, Malachi 4:5 come on the scene? How come we didn't have this and that? And he would have been speechless. But he's just grasping his straws here, but nevertheless he's publishing the truth now. But it's not for him to understand, it's for his successor to understand. That's Elijah David. This is why the 144,000 had to be sealed in the period of the sixth seal, before the opening of the seventh seal of the judgment for the living. Knowing that Elohim's laws of the judgment are righteous laws, it shows that he is just in his dealings with man. Now that we have been brought face to face with the gospel of the kingdom, the harvest, and the judgment for the living, Revelation 18:1-4, We are under the solemn obligation brought to you in Tract 4, page 65, and the command, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, being placed in this particular chapter of the Bible, shows why and peradventure that Elohim entrusts his storehouse to the messengers of the special truth for this time. Those who live in the period of the old message, the judgment of the dead, were under obligations to support it. But now that we are entering into the period of the new message, the judgment of the living, we are duty bound to support it. No longer is there either need nor justification for our supporting the old message by itself, aloof from the new. Now here Brother Johnson has been collecting tithes and offerings for 28 years, and now he's telling the people, you got to bring all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse now. Alright. So he says, thus we can see that since the shepherd rod message took place under the sixth seal, those that were sealed by that message in the end of the sixth seal are now under obligations to support the new message, the judgment for the living, in the seventh seal, the fifth angel's message. We can better understand this requirement of support. We realize that the top of Carmel withered, Amos 1:2. And when we look at the Davidian organization who left it as designated feeding pasture, old Mount Carmel, Micah 6:9-7:14, and established a new headquarters at New Mount Carmel after Brother Hoth's death, which then dissolved in 1962. Consequently, the flock scattered and divided into several different groups. Now, Brother Johnson is saying that after V.T. Hoth died in 55, that the flock scattered. It says that from their old established Old Mount Carmel, and when we look at the Davidian organization who left their designated feeding pasture, well, they didn't do it voluntarily. They had an Achan that was the wife of V.T. Hollis that was the one that took control of the range of Old Mount Carmel and sold it off and started teaching false doctrine, and the sheep, the shepherd had been smitten, and the sheep, they said, another they'll not follow. Said, the voice of their shepherd they'll hear and they'll follow, but another they'll not follow. Okay, so it says that. And so when V.T. Hoth died, it says that the sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. So Yahshua's voice was sounding through V.T. Hoth. When he died, it says the sheep that was under him, they will not follow another voice. That's the reason why Florence Hollis wasn't successful in succeeding her husband. That's the reason Ben Roden wasn't successful in succeeding to Florence Hollis. Because that one scripture where it says, my sheep hear my voice and another they'll not follow. Let's go back and pick up where we left off in our track. It says, subsequently, the flock scattered and divided into several different groups under different leaders in different parts of the United States and Canada, void of inspiration and having no type and no prophetic intervals. This in itself is proof that the top of Carmel did wither. The prophecy of Ezekiel 20:34-39 shows that Elohim was to bring his people, Israel, into the wilderness of the people by the antitypical Moses, with the shepherd rod V.T. Hollis, and plead with them face to face, calling them to pass under the rod and to bring them into the bond of the covenant, the fifth angel of Revelation 18:1-4, and to purge out the rebels from among them. The word, and after the word, rod in verse 37 show that after people passed under the shepherd rod movement, they were then to become a part of antitypical Joshua's movement, the bond of the covenant wherein the rebels will be purged out as it was in the type, and they will not go into the land. We know that this is the truth because it's according to the type. Okay, I'm going to bring this sermon to a close here. We're going to go and pick up John chapter 10. We're going to read verse 1 through 18. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So, the first one that is called to be a shepherd, he is the one that has to come through that door of the sheep. Alright, to him the porter openeth. Is the shepherd said, unto him who? The shepherd is the one that, who's the porter? We'll find out. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Vitehada says that this porter is antithetical David. And it's amazing. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Yahshua unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Yahshua unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So Yahshua is the door of the sheep. The porter is his servant, David. All that ever came before me and are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to further steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now watch this. Here in Hebrews 13:20, it talks about, let's read it. It says, now the Elohim of peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So what was it? What was the power that Yeshua had to lay down his life with? The power of the everlasting covenant of the Father. And the reason why it was for that reason is to make you perfect and every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Yahshua Messiah, unto whom be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. This brings close our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song entitled A Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Yahshua is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, curses of Yah. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angel descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.